All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter, at @Zach_Goodall, as well as my absent co-host, Misto Cristofo. I said yesterday on our joint pod with Eagles, an analyst, writer, radio host from Bleeding Green Nation, Michael Kiss, that Chris has been really busy at work. He's still filling in for me at work as I'm still technically out sick. So props to him for covering my ass there. And in return, I'm covering a lot of the pods. So it all works out in the end. But as I mentioned yesterday on my pod with Michael Kist, unfortunately, we weren't able to get things rolling with the Locked On Eagles crew this week for a crossover. So if you are looking forward to that, I'm sorry about that. However, if you are looking for an outsider's opinion on the Philadelphia Eagles, more than just a Jaguars look at it, make sure to listen to our podcast from yesterday. I also made an appearance over on Bleeding Green Nation Radio with Kist. He's really, really insightful. He knows his stuff about the Eagles. I strongly suggest checking those two episodes out if you're looking for any Eagles point of view for this upcoming matchup. Make sure to follow Chris on Twitter anyway, at Misto Cristofo, as well as the Locked On Jaguars handle, at Locked On Jaguars. Keep leaving those ratings, reviews, keep subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. We are also currently looking for local business sponsorships. I've been reaching out to some people, getting to talk to some people about potentially doing some ad reads on here for your company. So if you are a Jacksonville-based company, if you work for a Jacksonville-based company that's looking for more marketing, we are the audience for you. Make sure to go ahead and shoot me an email at zachgoodallpv@gmail.com or a message on Twitter, as well as Chris or the Locked On account, and we will respond to you pretty quickly. We're open to business with pretty much anyone around Jacksonville. If you reach out, we'll let you know our outreach, the demographics. If it's in your target range, it's a perfect match, and we can get things rolling there. I'm going to go ahead and get us started on this episode. It's our fourth and final one of the week before the Jaguars take on the Eagles in London. It is currently Thursday night. The Jaguars are hopping on a plane right now to head to London across the pond after they had practice today. Their injury report came out. As of right now, the report is that Tyler Patman and AJ Bouye will not be making the trip to London. That's two corners right there. Both have been starters as of late. Obviously, Bouye outside, as well as Patman in the slot in place of DJ Hayden. So really, they'll be down three total starters throughout the year, Patman being a fill-in for Hayden, and Bouye obviously being out the starter outside, outside corner opposite of Jalen Ramsey. So luckily, the team has Trey Herndon coming back from an injury. He's been out a couple of weeks, the undrafted free agent who made the roster for this team. And they have also kept Quinton Meeks on their practice squad, who was another flashy undrafted free agent in training camp in the preseason. He's made a couple of plays this year in very few snap counts when he was promoted to the active roster. He's likely going to be getting his first career start now. I believe that Herndon and him will both start. Meeks is far better on the outside than he is in slot, at least when you look at his college tape. So that might be a more natural fit. I'd assume he starts over Bouye. And they put Herndon in the slot. So that's an injury update for you. There's more to the injury report. It's not a real short injury report, but otherwise pretty much same as normal. Fournette out. O'Shaughnessy has been dealing with a hip injury, so tight end might not be getting any healthier. A couple of different guys added in Dante Fowler Jr. and Marcel Darius. However, they were limited. Darius did not practice. He only had an illness, and Fowler was limited with a groin injury, but both are expected to make to play on Sunday, and everyone else made the flight. It was only Bouye and Patman that stayed in Jacksonville. Everyone else will be in London. So speaking of London, we're going to go ahead and start breaking down the three keys to a Jaguars victory in London, and we're going to look on both the offense and defensive side of the ball with more emphasis on the offense. So we'll get right into the three keys now. Number one being Carlos Hyde, who the Jaguars traded for just last week in a trade with Cleveland. They sent him a fifth-round pick for Hyde to come in and take over the role that Leonard Fournette has left void, as he's been out for several weeks now with a hamstring injury. It doesn't look like he's getting better just yet. We don't know when he'll return. Obviously, it'll be sometime after the bye. But Hyde will fill the power running type of role that they've been missing in Leonard Fournette, and they are praying that that will take pressure off of Blake Bortles in the passing game so they can see glimpses of what he was able to do against New England and the New York Jets this past year. Otherwise, he's had a really down year. They're hoping that Hyde can provide that. They need Hyde to provide that. It is not an intriguing matchup for the run game. The Eagles are allowing the second least, running yards per game in 85.7. They have a fearsome front four, although they do have several really intriguing athletic linebackers who can come down and make plays against the run, as well as in coverage when they're playing man. Zone, they're getting a little eaten up this year, but when they run man, those linebackers can make plays in coverage, which we're going to talk about a little later. But that front seven, Derek Barnett at right defensive end has been ruled out for the year, I believe, with an injury, and Michael Bennett normally moves all across the defensive line, but he should be starting there in place of Barnett. They have a true run-stopping defensive tackle in Haloti Ngata, as well as Fletcher Cox playing defensive tackle, left defensive end Brandon Graham, as well as a rotation from guys like Chris Long and rookie Josh Sweat. They have a lot of guys and a lot of depth there on that front four defensive line. Much like the Jacksonville Jaguars, a lot of pass rushing talent, guys that can stop the run. Obviously, that's been something that they've done well this year, as they are second in rush yards allowed with, like I said, only 85.7 yards per game. So this is going to be a true test for the Jaguars front five. Things aren't looking too great at left tackle. They're on their third string left tackle, a converted guard in Josh Walker. Not much you can do there unless you make a total lineup change. I've often proposed that they should move Brandon Linder from center to left tackle and start Tyler Shatley, who's done a great job when he's been given the chance on the interior as a key depth piece. But I don't believe they'll be doing that this week. That might be something they have to try over the bye week and go from there if Walker continues to not perform at the level that he needs to for this offense. But these guys are going to be tasked with a really fearsome defensive line ahead of them, and they're going to have to try and open up holes in the power running game. They're going to try and run in between the tackles. That's what Carlos Hyde's good at. He's not much of a bouncer. He doesn't really get outside too well. He doesn't have that top-end speed or the ability to make a ton of people miss when he's trying to get outside. Rather, he is more of a bulldozing type of running back like we want to see out of Leonard Fournette. He can take on defenders and try and win battles one-on-one with them in a physical matchup. That's what he does well. That's what the Jaguars want to do well. And if the offensive line can provide some spacing in the interior for him to be able to make plays like that, I believe that will do wonders for the Jaguars offense. Whether Blake Bortles will be able to get out of a slump from that, that is yet to be seen. That's something I'm going to talk about in the next segment with our next key to the victory. But this should truly be a really good test for Carlos Hyde and see if that he can be a piece around here for longer than just filling in for Fournette. TJ Yeldon is set to be a free agent this upcoming offseason, and teams will probably view him as a consolation prize if they can't land Le'Veon Bell on the open market or even Tevin Coleman. So Yeldon could be in for a decent payday, and the Jaguars just might not be able to offer him that type of money, especially with what they have paid at running back. Leonard Fournette is the highest guaranteed running back and second highest guaranteed running back in the league, only behind Saquon Barkley for the New York Giants, because he was drafted two slots higher than Fournette was. The money for rookies goes up every year, therefore Barkley's just a little bit higher in guarantees, but a rookie's contract in the first round is always fully guaranteed, so Fournette is right up there in the top of guarantees, highest paid running backs, so they've got money already at the position. Hyde is on not too big of a contract, but more money than what Yeldon's on right now, in which case they might just want to hold on to Hyde as a guy that can continue to fill this power running style of play when Fournette isn't available, or even when he is, as kind of a two-headed monster at the same type of thing. Yeldon will end up probably getting paid elsewhere. They can try and keep Hyde here, and this will be a real showing to see if Hyde can provide value to this offense. I wouldn't be shocked if he had a ton of carries this upcoming week, and I think they'll try and use Yeldon as a change of pace back, as well as a receiving back a lot more than he'll get carries, And I think Hyde will end up getting something like maybe 15 to 20 touches, maybe even more. We'll just have to see exactly how caught up he is on the Jaguars playbook. He has mentioned that he sees similarities to what he was doing in Cleveland with this playbook, which is always a positive. You want to see that out of your running back to know that he's got a decent idea as to what's going on here right after you traded for him. In which case, they really, if they can win up front, Hyde can probably get something going. And for the first time in weeks, maybe we will see a better performance out of Blake Bortles. Right now, I'm not too confident, especially with the task at hand that he's going up against this week. I'm going to break that down in our second segment when we come back from these short messages. All right, guys. I'm going to keep it real with you here. Let's talk about sex. Good sex. Do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now, you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed like you used to have. Let me introduce you to something I like to call BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, all the name brands. So you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as any pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy line, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using special promo code CODE. That's CODE, C-O-D-E. All you do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E-Chew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code CODE to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, so the second key to victory for these Jacksonville Jaguars in London against the Philadelphia Eagles stays on the offensive side of the ball, but this time it's going to be what key number one opens up for door number two, and that being the passing game. The Jaguars are really going to rely on Carlos Hyde to open up things in the passing game by being able to truly power run. That's just what they run off of. They try and get pressure off of the quarterback by being able to utilize power running to catch defenses off guard with their simple passing schemes, and then eventually trying to get one up over the top on something like play action. It's what they've done to try and hide Blake Bortles' deficiencies. Last year it worked for the most part. This year it really hasn't worked. A lot of it's been Bortles just not performing well. A lot of it's also been that Leonard Fournette hasn't been there. Now, unlike in the run game, the Eagles have struggled against the pass, and a lot of that comes when they're playing zone. When they play man coverage, their guys are really athletic, can make plays, they're sticky in coverage for the most part when they're running man concepts. But when they're running zone, and they run a lot of cover three, much like the Jacksonville Jaguars do, they're allowing a lot more pass yards, especially coming from the underneath when the linebackers are dropping pretty deep. All in all, the Eagles are allowing 269.7 rush yards per game. That goes for 24th in the NFL. And their linebackers, I had the stats the other day, I read them on the pod with Michael Kist. I don't have them currently available right now, but I can tell you that the completion percentages against their linebackers were really high. He made note that it mainly came as inflation from when they run cover three. If the Eagles are running cover three a lot of the time, and if the running game is working, I guarantee even Blake Bortles might be able to make something happen in the short underneath passing game. It might not be a lot, especially with how he's played recently. I don't see him completely emerging from his slump like people are projecting he will, being that this is pretty much like a second home type of game in London where he's got an advantage knowing how to play in London, but more so that the matchup actually might work. If the running game is working, they can utilize the underneath, getting D.D. Westbrook open and targeting him earlier in the game. They seem to be resorting to him as a second half come from behind option on the underneath stuff. Take advantage of that when you have it in the first half if the run game seems to be opening things up, because he's getting open. He's averaging about 4 yards of separation on every route he runs, which is good for like top 7 in the league at this point. He's doing a really good job getting open. We just need to hit him. And I think that if the running game does open things up, they should be able to take those chunk plays. And then I've been a proponent of DJ Chark getting snaps over Dante Moncrief for a long time. That's something I just believe in. They're of similar attributes in terms of height, in terms of the ability, you know, athletic ability on paper. They had similar combine scores because Moncrief was pretty fast for his size. So is Chark. However, we've just seen Moncrief really slow down over time. He's not separating well. It's not been a strength of his to separate, whereas we do see DJ Chark learning to separate a lot better than he did in college. And we've seen that recently, most recently against the Houston Texans. He had a couple of really nice routes that he ran where he created separation well. And we'd like to see that continue. And one thing that Kist made sure of is to let me know that Jalen Mills, who's been really inconsistent at cornerback this year, when they're running zone, once you start to press into his cushion, if you can make a double move on him, you're getting open deep and teams can take advantage of that. It's happened a lot to the Eagles this year. This is requiring a perfect scenario in the passing game for Blake Bortles. The run game to be working and enough time to get a deep ball out after the underneath stuff starts to click is utilize a guy like DJ Chark, who's got great top speed and a really athletic profile, to maybe make a double move on a guy like Jalen Mills when they're playing cover three. Inflate his zone, take advantage of him, get a double step in there and get open down the field, and perhaps they'll be able to take advantage of that. If they can get things flowing on offense, they should see some open looks like that. And getting the ball to DJ Chark would make my dreams come true at this point. I'm a big fan of his. I think he should be getting the ball. So that'd be a really cool thing to see, some explosion out of this offense, which we haven't seen in weeks. But first, it is going to take the power running game, really opening things up with Carlos Hyde at the helm. Then maybe utilizing a change of pace back like TJ Yeldon, just get the run game going against a hard run defense. It's going to take a lot, but I do believe the Jaguars are capable of doing it with Hyde and Yeldon, as well as a decent performance from their offensive line. Maybe not as much at left tackle, but the rest of the line is really solid, and we know that they can run block. Get those guys to create some space, allow things to open up, utilize the run game, take pressure off of Bortles, hit that underneath stuff, catch him off guard every now and then, going deep to a guy like DJ Chark, who is deserving of more targets than what he's getting right now and more snaps on the field. And just from that, that will keep the defense rested. And that's something I'm going to talk about in our third segment, is what the defense can do against Philadelphia. And all of these factors can suddenly bring back the football we were used to seeing in 2017. That's exactly how Jacksonville beat teams. Power run game, exposing teams when you're passing the ball because they're so used to having trying to defend the run, and catch them off guard, in which case you're running the clock a ton, keeping the defense energized, and they come out and they're dominant in the pass game, even in the run game, getting sacks on the quarterback and providing, you know, finishing the pressures that they're getting by getting to the quarterback and putting him in the dirt. All of these factors can come true if the Jaguars stick to their, like, what they do best. And they're really hoping Carlos Hyde is the guy that can provide that. We'll see if that's true or not this upcoming Sunday, but I would believe that taking advantage of the run game by having a successful pass game that's feeding off of the run is key number two to victory for the Jaguars against Philadelphia. When we come back from these messages from our sponsors, we'll be talking about the defense and how they hold key number three to the victory in London. Now we will move on to the third and final key to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars in London against the Philadelphia Eagles. And after the first two segments being about the Jaguars offense, we are now going to flip the switch to their defense, who for the most part has been underperforming based on the standards they set last year. Now, last week against the Texans, they did a real solid job. They contained Deshaun Watson really well. He did not have a good day. They got a lot of pressure on the QB and really only gave up 10 of the 20 points on the scoreboard. The other 10 coming from turnovers that the Jaguars offense put them at an average of their own 24-yard line in great scoring position. So hopefully we can continue to see an upward trend from this Jaguars defense against the Philadelphia Eagles. They do not have much of a run game after Jay Ajayi went out with a torn ACL just a couple of weeks ago. They are down to 21st in the NFL in rush yards per game at 102, and I can only see that getting worse as long as Ajayi is out. They've been relying on the likes of Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement, and recently promoting Donald Pumphrey from the practice squad up to their active roster. It's just not much of a run game. Those guys all really specialize in receiving out of the backfield and not so much actually running the football. So we might see them trying to attack the underneath with their running backs. But one thing we've seen is the reemergence of Carson Wentz. And he missed about half of last year, maybe a little less than half of last year. I don't remember exactly how many games en route to them going and winning the Super Bowl with Nick Foles at the helm, but he tore his ACL in the middle to later part of the year, that being Carson Wentz, and he's had a great recovery story, came back early this season, and has been getting better every week. And he's been especially deadly in between 10 to 20 yards removed from the line of scrimmage. And that actually might be a situation where the Jaguars playing zone might benefit them a little bit more than recently, because Wentz is doing a decent job on the underneath stuff, but he's making his money in the 10 to 20 yard range removed from the line of scrimmage. He does not have a passer rating below 100 when he's targeting any part of the field from 10 to 20 yards removed from the line. So if the Jaguars do come out, they can run some press. I really think Jalen Ramsey should be lining up and shadowing Alshon Jeffrey. That'd be a really physical matchup to watch, especially if the Eagles are able to get it into the red zone. That's something we need to see. They are gonna have Quinton Meeks starting probably outside. Trey Herndon will likely be taking reps at the slot nickel corner position. Two undrafted guys this year who are going to be playing a major role, and we'll just see what they're all about. We'll see why the team kept them here, because obviously they've done a decent enough job to earn a spot with this team, and now they're going to get thrown in a pinch together, and we're going to see exactly what they can do for this Jaguars defense. And if the Jaguars are playing a lot more zone, playing a lot higher, rather than coming down close to the line like they've been doing recently, Wentz might try and test them in that 10 to 20 yard range where he's been so deadly. And if he's doing that, I trust the Jaguars defenders to make a play there. Recently, quarterbacks have just been attacking the underneath stuff, all behind the line of scrimmage through 10 yards max, because they know the Jaguars' pressure is getting to them quickly and that the Jaguars are playing so far off, they've just got all that room to work with and get a quick release out before they get taken down by a pass rusher. So the Jaguars in situations are going to have to adjust and come down and play the underneath, because Wentz has certainly done a decent job there. And I believe that they can make that happen. I believe without your starting nickel corner or your primary backup nickel corner in DJ Hayden, as well as Tyler Patman, you might need to have some more base looks out there. You might need to get Leon Jacobs on the field more. If you have Leon Jacobs on the field and are running more base, blitz the quarterback. Get pressure on him. You don't send five rushers enough, and you have that opportunity in Leon Jacobs, who came out of school technically as an edge rusher, and they put him at the Sam position. So they can utilize those guys, send five, play a lot of man concepts, and then throw in some zone. Rather than just sticking to what you're always doing, get unique with some stuff and send more pressure. Play sticky coverage in man coverage, which is what these guys are good at, especially Jalen Ramsey. Then sprinkle in your zone, let Wentz try and test you deeper a little bit and try and make a play. And I think that could be really important. I think just what's going to be important for this defense in general is seeing a variety of looks and not sticking to the same script. Because so far, in games especially against the Chiefs and especially against the Dallas Cowboys, they stuck to their normal script that we've seen going back to 2017, where it worked last year, but now teams know what they're going against. They pick apart the underneath stuff, it gets really easy, and teams end up winning. They beat a really good defense just by doing simple things and out-coaching the Jaguars. Todd Wash needs to get back on his game. He had a better week this past week, and he needs to continue that. He needs to upgrade it even more. He needs to bring some high variance. He needs to trust these guys that they kept around in undrafted free agents, Meeks and Herndon, because they've obviously earned a role, and they're being counted on this week with Jalen Ramsey and the rest of that Jaguar secondary, and we're going to see what they're all about. And I think that should just about do it for us today here at Locked On Jaguars. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we are looking for local business sponsorships, so if you feel that your company would want to take advantage of some marketing, feel free to shoot me a message or an email, and we can start talking specifics, outreach, demographics, all that good stuff. And for now, if you're just a listener, if you're not here to go ahead and get your business sponsored, go ahead and be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts can be found, you can find us. As for that, I'm Zach Goodall. Find me on Twitter @Zach_Goodall, and we are logging off until Sunday.